beautiful picture of your shepherding and your care and your protection and your provision. Father, this morning, help us to see our shepherd more clearly and to celebrate him and love him and follow him more closely. And we just pray your blessing this time in Jesus' name, our good shepherd. Amen. Well, good morning. Good to be with you. It's good to see some friends from Emmanuel Northville as well. Many kind of dotted around. Good to see you guys. I've been away for some of the summer, and so it's really good to be back. As Graham, this is a very familiar passage. I was reminded of this week. I was having my hair cut, and my barber asked about church, and I said I was preaching this on Sunday, and he started reciting Psalm 23. So he learned it while he was trying to earn his way onto the football team when he was back in a little child. He had to learn some verses to get onto a football team, and he could still say it now. So he's not a Christian, but he knows Psalm 23. So one of the things I think we need to ask God for this morning is just that we can come to this afresh and see some fresh blessings. And so that's my prayer for us this morning. Part of doing that, I read a book this week written by a shepherd to help me see some of the imagery in Psalm, and I'll bring some of that in, and hopefully that's helpful. But I want to hold up for us this morning a couple of things. I think what Christians can confess, and then what we can possess, and also a picture of who possesses us as our shepherd. So those things I think are central, and I want us to go away with those. Pictures. So holding up a picture, but I think also a mirror for us that can be helpful. So a picture of what this contented life with Christ as our Savior and our Shepherd can be. So if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, you can sing this psalm joyfully. It's a celebration of what you have in the Lord Jesus. You're resting in Him. But if you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. I hope that you'll see this picture of the care and attention of the Good Shepherd and be drawn to Him. It's also a mirror, I think. Scripture can help us say, look, I'm saying these words, I read these words, but I'm not sure my heart is entirely there. I'm not sure I'm resting in the way that the psalmist is. I'm not sure I'm resting in the way that the Lord Jesus would rest if he were saying these words. God for more. So the psalm begins with a profession. The Lord is my shepherd. So in some ways, as we go through the psalm, we're going to add color to that phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. But I think it's important to reflect on these words before we move on. And I think we need to ask ourselves an important question right at the beginning. Who is the Lord, and can I trust him to be my shepherd? I mean, I know when I came to faith, I came to realize that I was not seeing the Lord Jesus for who he was, and my life had not been giving him glory and honor. And I had not been submitting to him, and that was sin, and I needed to be forgiven for that. And I could see that he had provided a way for me to be forgiven for that, and I was ready to accept him as my Savior. But where I hesitated, I think, was accepting him as my shepherd. Could I trust him to guide my life? I mean, I had plans. We all have plans for what we want our lives to be. Could I trust my life into his hands? And what helped me was reflecting on the character and trustworthiness and the power of God as I thought about that. And we have it right here in this psalm. If we allow ourselves to kind of enter into it, the Lord is my shepherd. So what do we pour into those words, the Lord? We've got the whole Bible to pour things in, but the Lord who created the universe with his words is my shepherd. The Lord who gave Abraham and Sarah a promised child in their old age is my shepherd. The Lord who shepherded Joseph's life from the pit through a prison to becoming a savior for God's people is my shepherd. The Lord who miraculously brought his people out of Egypt, who miraculously brought them into the land, is my shepherd. The Lord who came to rescue, who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, to be used to his own advantage, but made himself nothing, that Lord is my shepherd. The Lord who has control over every element in the universe and every cell, such that he can make a person who was born lame to walk, or to make a shriveled hand strong and useful again, that Lord is my shepherd. The Lord who humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. The Lord who has canceled the debt of our sin, not because of any righteous things that we have done, but because of his grace and mercy. The Lord who was raised to life. The Lord who has conquered the enemy and taken the sting out of death. That Lord is my shepherd. Now we could go on and on and on. We've got a whole Bible full of this, right? But can I leave that for you in your morning meditations to pour into those words, the Lord, and to blow the lid off your view of your shepherd? Parents, the children are going to be thinking about this in Grace Kids this morning. Pick that up over lunch. Help them think that through as well, what it means that the Lord is your shepherd. Later in this term, as a church, we're going to be thinking through some big questions about what God is like. Who is God? What does it mean that he's loving? We're going to be able to pour those words right back into this phrase, the Lord is my shepherd, and let that help you and expand your view. All of these questions can be poured back into this profession. Now, what about the rest of this profession? The Lord is my shepherd. Now, we know that David was a shepherd, so he's very accustomed to the imagery he's drawing from his own personal experience as he writes this psalm. He knows what it means to be a shepherd that gives time and attention, who sacrifices in the feeding and watering and protecting and defending of the flock. And he is saying, I am in the care of this shepherd. And the rest of the psalm is a reflection of that, an overflow of what it means to be in the care of the Lord. Let me pause for a minute and just ask you a question before we go any further. And let me ask you, can you make that profession this morning? Can you make that profession, the Lord is my shepherd? Because as we talked about, and Esther helped see, the fact is, if we're human, and we are, something or someone is our shepherd. We're like sheep, and we're easily led, we're influenced, we're all following, we're hoping for some kind of comfort, security, or promise. And whatever really controls us ultimately is our shepherd. But the harsh reality is not so much a shepherd. I mean, at best, a hired hand runs away. At worst, more like a slave master. For example, if we're seeking after the acceptance of other people, then we're sort of slaves to those people who will dole out their acceptance or not. Working for it, we're striving for it. Maybe we'll give it for a little bit, but we can't hold on to it because it's temporary and someone can easily take it away. So we become slaves to that shepherd. Let me ask you another question. Comes from a question Alan Noble asks in his book, You Are Not Your Own. He says this, if belonging to Christ, and I would add, and calling him your shepherd, makes you uncomfortable, ask yourself whether you're actually comfortable belonging to yourself. If belonging to Christ and calling him your shepherd makes you uncomfortable, ask yourself if truly belong to yourself makes you comfortable. You see, belonging to ourselves and going our own way sounds really attractive at first. It's kind of the Disney theme song. Everything kind of do your own thing, be your own person, live the way you want, and don't let anybody tell you who to be your own person. But you're left then to shape yourself. It comes at a cost. And we see the effect of this in our world through, I think, anxiety and through depression and all the things that we see in our culture today. Because now if I'm on my own, if I'm responsible for defining everything, I'm responsible for finding significance and meaning and showing them significant and meaning and meaningful. I define myself, I define my values, I define everything about me. I'm responsible for justifying myself to the world around me. Because even if we say we're our own, we still crave that feedback from the world. And so we're slaves to that. Ultimately, I think this is the real sting. If things don't go well, if we get into some of those dark valleys, the only person I can point to is myself. So belonging to yourself can be a lonely place to be. And I want to say that because this is a sharp contrast to what David is singing about and enjoying this morning in this psalm. David is singing and celebrating he is not his own, that he is in the care of the good shepherd. His profession of the Lord is my shepherd leads to an overflow of images, I think, that can help us see. So let's get into it. The Lord is my shepherd. First outcome, I lack nothing. Big statement. The natural result of the Lord being my shepherd is that I can confidently say, I think, and my soul can know, I lack nothing. But what does that mean? I think I stumble over that phrase because we all know that there are things we don't have that we wish we had. There are things that have been taken from us, maybe loved ones that we've lost. Maybe your health is failing, maybe a loved one's health is failing. There is a sense that you do lack things. I think first I would say that David is primarily talking here about a deep satisfaction and contentment in his soul rather than simply a material or physical lacking thing. So you might say, because the Lord is my shepherd, my soul is at rest. I've found comfort in not being my own. And we can say, we are the Lord's, the sheep of his pasture. But I think the Bible also tells us that everything we truly need will be supplied. Everything we truly need in life will be supplied. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things, food, water, clothing, will be given to you as well. Matthew Henry is really helpful here. And this is what he says about what it means to lack nothing. So listen to this. I shall be supplied with everything I need. And if I have not everything I desire, I conclude that number one, it's either not fit for me. Number two, it's not good for me. Or number three, it's not the time for me to have that thing. So what a way to start each day. What a way to start each day. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I can be confident in his care, know that everything that happens today is fit for me, is good for me, and if it doesn't happen today, there's a better time for it in the future. What a way to be able to rest in that. But let me hold up the mirror for a second. Do you know this not lacking? I know that for Linda and I, as the girls have grown up, we've wanted them to come to know the Lord, and we've wanted them to come to know this resting, this kind of deep soul resting that weather any storm that life can provide. Yes, we've wanted them to do well in school, and we want them to find the right career and maybe have a family, things like that. But ultimately, if none of those things happen, but they have that deep soul rest, that will be wonderful. And do we have that this morning? I mean, content really should be the mark of the Christian who's walking through life, putting himself under the care and shepherding of God. And hopefully as we look at some of these picture you are shepherd. You'll be able to grow in that and cultivate that. Let's look on at some of those images. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Now, this is not lacking in deep rest if a sheep is lying down in green pastures. Okay? Sheep don't lie down if they're not completely free of fear. They lie down if there's friction within the flock and kind of infighting. And they don't lie down if they're hungry. Okay? So, I don't know about you, but I've often thought this is, oh, he leads me to green pasture so I can eat. No, this is a picture of I'm full. I'm content. I'm lying down when there's all this food around and provision. So content that they lie down. And this has been, this is something that I think is important, and we have to kind of pour in here from outside to grow our idea of what it means to have this green pasture. This has been provided by the shepherd. Okay, in David's area, dry, semi-arid climate, he had to work to make a green pasture. He had to find the right places. He had to clear rocky, rough land, tear out bushes and roots, pull out poisonous plants, planting special grains, directing water to irrigate this land to make this a place for sheep. So there's work of the shepherd that makes this possible. We also have a picture of being led by quiet waters. And again, sheep led by waters is a picture of contentment. They're not thirsty. When sheep are thirsty, they're kind of restless. They're searching for water. They'll drink from polluted pools on the ground and pick up parasites and things. Oh, these are sheep being led by still waters, quiet waters. And again, this is the work of the shepherd. It doesn't just happen. The shepherd is doing things like getting the sheep out onto the dew-drenched grass early in the morning and late at night to give them, to quench their thirst. He may be down digging wells or channels from the streams to direct the water to the sheep. So picture a shepherd who's down in this well, digging it out, bailing water out, working for the benefit of the sheep so that they can be content. And he finishes with this picture. He refreshes my soul, pulling together the two images. As Christians, we're promised rest in Christ because Christ, our shepherd, has cleared the way through his death on the cross. Just look, think about this shepherd and think about the work of Christ. Christ, our shepherd, says, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever drinks of this water I give them will never thirst. Christ, our shepherd, is the one who refreshes and restores us at the soul level. He says, I'm the bread of life. Like sheep, if left to wander on our own, we get lost and we may even end up on our backs. Sometimes sheep end up on their backs and they can't turn over. Well, Christ, our shepherd, has come to seek and to save and to restore. He says one lost sheep will send him searching in the open country until he finds the lost one. Our shepherd sacrificed that we might have this contentment. I lay down my life for the sheep. And he refreshes our souls so that we might have life to the full. This is the shepherd we celebrate and sing about. So picture that work, picture that hard work of digging out that well and providing in this pasture, and then turn your eye to Christ and the work that he has done to provide for you. I tell you what, our world will offer lots of different ways to satisfy your thirst and your hunger. Lots of broken cisterns. Jeremiah, the prophet, was speaking for God, and he said, people have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. So we try to run and try to find rest and contentment in other things, whether that's, you know, hobbies, work, or family, or even our religious activities. I'm sure you've experienced, we all experience drinking from some of these wells and how they never fully satisfy. I was reminded, our daughter Anna just finished her A-levels a couple weeks ago, got the results. She's already now in university, surrounded by people who are saying, you work hard to get this next thing and so that this thing can happen. You know, it's kind of never ending. There's a promise, but then hold on, the promise is going to move a little bit. The goalpost keeps being moved. Or it happens maybe in career. You get that promotion, and then your mentor says, okay, let's start working for the next thing. And there's a sense, maybe this will satisfy, but it never quite does. We've got a better shepherd. And let's go on and continue looking. He writes, he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Now, there's great comfort here if we see it. Now, sheep are creatures of habit, just like we are. They get into routines, and they'll get in ruts, and they'll stay in the same pasture, and they'll overeat on the pasture. They'll eat it down until they've eaten the roots, becomes a wasteland. They'll pollute the pasture until it's full of disease. Isaiah 3 says, we're all like sheep, and we've gone astray, and we need a shepherd. We need guidance. We need a shepherd. You know what? There's amazing comfort here tied to this promise that he guides me along the right paths. And it's this phrase, his name's sake. Like a little Easter egg or something hidden right in the middle there. That's a little surprise. David's saying that God's name, his reputation, his honor and credibility is at stake as he shepherds and guides my life. God guides us along the right paths for our good and for his glory, and he won't let his glory be tarnished. And you can rest, he guides me for his name's sake. That is an unshakable foundation. And how does he guide us? Well, we think of through his word. The Bible itself says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119. Or through the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit. All who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God, we read in the New Testament. So we can rest that God is guiding us through those means, that he will do it for his name's sake. He will do that even through the darkest of valleys. We come to verse 4. Even though I walk the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now notice how we've got a change here in this psalm. It becomes more personal. David begins to say, you are with me, rather than he. You are with me, your rod, your staff, you prepare, you anoint. The personal nature of this shepherd-sheep relationship, a one-to-oneness. And this is important, I think, particularly as we go into this picture of this dark valley. This closeness becomes really important. David may be describing the valleys that kind of are kind of, you see, as you look at the mountains, you can kind of see the places where there are spaces between the mountain. And if you think about how you go up a mountain, you follow the terrain. Rather than going straight up the face of a mountain, we follow through the valleys. That's the best way up a mountain. So the shepherd in the summertime moves the flock up the mountain through the valleys. And he does this alone. It's a personal thing. There's personal contact with the sheep, moving them along. The shepherd will have walked along the path before to make sure that it's safe for the sheep before taking them into those valleys. But this is the best path up the mountain to the fresh pastures. But it's dark. And it can be scary. Darkness means you kind of can't see where things are headed. So I wonder what the valleys are for you in your life right now. Maybe you're feeling a sense of being in one of these values. Maybe it's illness yourself, or maybe it's illness of a loved one. Maybe there are relationship difficulties or loneliness. Maybe there's some work-related pressure and you're not quite sure how you're going to get through. Maybe it's more about the darkness of the path rather than the fact that it's kind of a deep depression or valley. Maybe it's the fact that I can't quite see where God is taking me here. I can't quite see where this is going. I know those of us who have surgery this week. How is that going to go on that day? What's going to happen in the days and weeks and months that follow? There's a kind of a darkness on the path that I can't see. Others among us have big exams this week that will determine whether a career path, maybe, or the timing of that career choice. And if this happens, what about that? What will I do? And there's kind of darkness in the path. I can't see. I think here we got to lean into that understanding of our shepherd is that we were kind of reflecting on at the beginning, those characteristics we thought about. The Lord is my shepherd and he is with me through this valley. And I think also we got to say, even though I walk through the valley, I don't die here, I'm going to languish here, I'm going to stop here, being taken through the valley. And as Christians, even in our time of death, we know that this is a passing through to life beyond the valley. And the sheep is comforted by knowing that the shepherd is there. And we have these comforts ourselves. In the Bible, we're told in Isaiah 52, the Lord will go before you and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. So there's this idea of God being all around us as we walk through the valley. Jesus also says, surely I am with you always. So we have that ringing in our ears as we think, I'm walking with my shepherd through the valley. David adds to this two images of a rod and a staff to provide comfort. So the sheep know that the presence of the shepherd by his voice, but also by the presence of his rod and staff. So the rod kind of pictures the image of strength. It's an extension of his arm and powerful in defending against predators. It's also used to kind of comb through the wool of the sheep and inspect each sheep carefully and pull out, you know, bugs and parasites and things. It's used to correct the sheep. It can, you know, if they're wandering in a direction that'd be unhelpful or unsafe near a ledge or towards some poisonous weeds or something, the shepherd might hurl the rod in the direction of that sheep to send it scurrying back to safety in the flock. And I wonder if that might be a bit symbolic of the word of God for us as it protects, as it inspects, as it corrects. So then there's a picture of staff providing comfort. Now the staff is more naturally a kind of gentle tool. It's used to draw sheep together and even hold it up against the side of the sheep to let the sheep know that the shepherd is present. If a nervous sheep is a bit anxious, he might feel the staff against him. The shepherd also uses the staff to gently lift a newborn lamb back to its mother so that he doesn't get his own smell on the lamb, but gently lifts the lamb back to the mother. So this is a picture of great care, closeness, and affection. And I wonder if that might remind us of the comforter that we have in the Holy Spirit, guiding, drawing us together in unity, the counselor, the comforter. Let's go on. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. So the psalm moves from the valleys to the mountaintops. And we've got both of these in the Christian life, don't we? But the picture remains very intimate and personal. Now, I know I always picture a banquet table, and maybe that's what David had in mind, but if we stay with the shepherding metaphor of the kind of shepherd taking the sheep to different places, we've got this picture of a mountain table, which is, in many languages, what we would call the top green space at the top of a mountain in the summertime. Other languages would refer to that as a mesa, which means table. So the shepherd is taking the sheep up to the mountain, to the table. And again, the shepherd had to go ahead of the sheep to prepare that. Again, clearing the rocks, clearing away the poisonous weeds, making sure that it's ready for the sheep to be there. He'll be surveying the area for predators, for cougars and mountain lions that would tear the sheep to pieces. Preparing the table is kind of lonely, difficult work for the shepherd, but it's for the benefit of the sheep. Now, we've enjoyed the Lord's table. And our Lord Jesus prepared that table for us. And just like this shepherd's work is lonely and costly and kind of sacrificial to make this possible, so it is with Jesus. Christ endured the loneliness of Gethsemane, of standing alone before Pilate, of the cross at Calvary, all to prepare a table for us, his sheep. And just like the shepherd, Jesus has walked the path before us. He's surveyed and understood the enemy and the predators. He knows the predators and he knows how to defeat them and has defeated them. The picture continues with being anointed with oil and a cup that overflows. This is where shepherd metaphor gets a little bit stretched, but hang with me. It's a picture of personal care. There's an anointing of being set apart. There's also a picture of abundance. This cup is not full, it's flowing over. And if we stay with that shepherd imagery, even back in David's time, shepherds applied oil to the sheep's face. And that was a protection against bugs and parasites and things. But imagine, just picture that shepherd with, I don't know how many, 100 sheep, individually applying protective, comforting oil each sheep personally. The oil is applied around the face and nose, and the sheep is made to feel kind of immediate relief from the pests in the environment and made to feel special from that shepherd. Let's finish with verse 6. Which really kind of, if you think of the psalm, the shape of it, this is kind of a summing up, but it also is a kind of bookend to the first phrase, the Lord is my shepherd and I lack nothing. And surely your goodness and love will follow me. Picture here is the end of the season, end of the sheep season. And the shepherd is leading the sheep home down the mountain. And the sheep are resting in certainty and care of the shepherd. They've known his care, his protection, his sacrifice for them. They've enjoyed the pastures, the waters, the protection, the walking with through the valleys, the anointing with oil. And they can rest and say, surely you'll bring me home. And we can know this too as Christians. As I was reading this and reflecting on this, the verse that kept ringing in my ears from Romans 8, he who did not spare his own son, but graciously gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? That shepherd has done the big thing. How will he not also lead me home and graciously give us all things? I'm in the shepherd's care. I've witnessed his sacrifice and care for me. I've felt his presence and guidance and correction. I know his good name depends on his shepherding of me. I'd say, surely your goodness and love will follow me and lead me home. Let me conclude with this. There will be dark valleys. You may be in one right now. And there will be paths that feel like they're leading to dead ends. There will be dark corners and things where you can't see around. I mean, none of us can see what tomorrow will bring. But there might be something out there where you're saying, oh, there's just kind of darkness after that moment. I don't know what's going to happen. Can we be comforted by this picture of the shepherd and his work and his closeness and his affection? Or you might say, and it's okay to say this, this all sounds nice, but I don't really feel I lack nothing, and I don't really feel this resting and comfort. I do have fears. I don't have this sense of rest for my soul, of his protection, of assurance for my future, or at least completely, because none of us do. This side of the resurrection and glory, we will have an incomplete resting in this. Can I encourage you to go back to that, the first words, the Lord is my shepherd, and meditate on that every morning this week. Try it. And when you get to the words, the Lord, just pack in as many wonderful things that you know about the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in those words. Be comforted. Listen to him as he speaks about himself in the Word. Recall his record as a shepherd. We can ask him to help close the gap between what we profess in this psalm and what we actually possess in our hearts. So ask him for this kind of rest. Ask him for the guidance of his word and the Holy Spirit. He's a good shepherd. He wants to give these things so you can rest and say, I lack nothing. Now, we've given the sermons this summer in this series a kind of a heading, something like words for when you're feeling, words for when you're feeling envious, or words for when you're feeling guilty. I have to admit, I struggle to put 23 in one of those containers. We talked about this at home group on Thursday night, and they were really helpful, and we came up with words for the journey. And maybe words for every morning of the journey. How about that? Words for every morning of the journey, or words for the pilgrimage. I'm not sure what sheep call their comings and goings, but words for every morning of the journey. Reminders that the Lord is our shepherd, and he works, and he sacrifices, and he goes before us and after us, and he gives rest and protection and love and personal care and certain hope of the future. If you're not a Christian here this morning, and you haven't begun to follow the Lord as your shepherd, can I ask you that question again? How is being on your own working out? And are you finding satisfaction and rest? Can I ask you to compare the shepherd that we've been describing, compare the Lord Jesus to the self-interested slave masters of the world who promise the world but leave you hungry and thirsty, empty, and kind of coming back for more? Let me tell you, Jesus said that there are more sheep who are not currently in the fold. That could be you this morning. And he would say, come to me and I will open the gate and allow you to enter in. You see, his death on the cross made it possible for you to enter in. Even though you've been outside doing your own thing, his death on the cross says, I can open the gate and you can come in and be part of the family. Come in, he says. I'll give you shelter from the storm. Let me finish with this. Over these last couple of years, you know, I know we've all had difficult times, and something that's been a great comfort for me has been the first question and answer of the Heidelberg Catechism, which goes like this. First question is, what is your only comfort in life and death? The answer is that I am not my own, but belong with body, soul, both in life and in death, my faithful Savior and Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your shepherding. Thank you so much for giving us the Good Shepherd. Thank you so much for his work in providing us a rest, a deep soul rest. Thank you that we can know his closeness as we walk through the valleys, as we walk through those dark times where we can't see ahead, but we know that you can. We know that you've walked ahead of us and you know that path and that you won't lead us astray. Father, help us to grow our picture of what it means that the Lord is our shepherd, and help us to be comforted by that. Would you help us to commit the time to growing in that, to meditating on that, and to loving you more, we pray. In Jesus' name and for his glory as the great shepherd. Amen. Amen. Paul and Mary are going to come now and help us to reflect on this psalm in prayer, to kind of lead us in prayer on some of the themes.